And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and it is the spring offering event here at WMIE over the next 2 weeks. The radio station is attempting to reach a fundraising goal of $40,000, and part of that is to replace some equipment that is functioning, but it's just barely functioning. It's not functioning at peak capacity. There are some other things and things like that. You know, I've got a piece of equipment at my house, and it's like, oh no, has it come time to replace that again? Well, you know, when you're on the air every day, all of this electronic equipment that is necessary in order to keep the gospel of Jesus Christ going out to Brevard County, a lot of times that just needs to operate. And if it doesn't operate, it's got to either be repaired or it's got to be replaced. And there is some equipment that it would be more cost effective to replace than it is to repair. And so if the Lord lays it upon your heart to become a partner with WMIE for the next 6 months, so that they can reach their goal of $40,000, that would be very, very helpful. One of the things that helps keep Merit Assembly of God on the air are some of our friends and listeners that support us as well. JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804. Have been in Brevard County for decades and decades, putting their skill set to use to make sure that projects get off to a solid foundation for their projects. And so if you've got a project that is coming up, they may be a resource that you could reach at 321-536-5804. They can put their decades of expertise, their fantastic experience, and their fantastic work ethic. So they're double fantastic to work on your project. That's a combination that's hard to beat. Experience with expertise with a great work ethic. And if you reach out to them, you can set up a time. They can look over the scope of your project, give you an estimate. And then they, if you decide to go forward with them, they will come in. They will get you your project done as quickly as they possibly can, but done right, and then they want to get out of the way so your project can move forward. 321-536-5804. We thank them for their decades at Merit Assembly of God as well as everything else. So thank you to Greg and his team there at JITS Concrete. Today we are going back to Matthew chapter 6. We started yesterday talking about prayer, and I want to read to you not a whole lot from the Word of God, but I want to talk to you a little bit. And so yesterday I talked to you about prayer is learning to speak the language of heaven, and it is about hearing from our Heavenly Father. And that voice, the voice of God, is something that should be very comforting to us and very reassuring. We should realize that when we are meeting with our Father, that we are in our safe place. And so we're going to look a little bit more at the interaction that takes place whenever we pray and we interact with our Heavenly Father. So Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So the concept I would like to start out with today in dealing with prayer as is this. Prayer is when we are spending time with our Heavenly Father. And John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. And so anybody who says that they don't need to pray is really missing the boat, because Jesus often withdrew from the disciples and from the crowds and found himself praying and receiving direction, so that Jesus would actually say, the words that I speak are the words I hear my Father speaking. The things that I do are the things that I see my Father doing. And in John chapter 17, he refers to the Father as the Father. He refers to him as the one true God. He refers to him as Holy Father and also as Righteous Father. So, because we live in a fallen world, and men who live in a fallen world are often pressured into certain stereotypical activities, and you know, there are certain things that I don't understand, that, you know, they say, oh, you can't do this until you're an adult, and then those activities are actually more juvenile-ish. They're more like those of an adolescent than they are of a full grown adult. Those things bother me. And so we have a lot of ungodly examples of fathers, and our society pays the price for those ungodly examples. So because of the behavior of ungodly fathers and ungodly mothers, to be quite honest with you, then there are people who, whenever they hear of God as referred to as our Father or Heavenly Father, that they project the image of a spiritually faulty father here on earth onto the Heavenly Father. And so I think it is very helpful to remember that the Heavenly Father is not created in the image of fallen dads, but instead he is absolutely perfect. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. And so I would tell you this: prayer is God's idea. It's not man's idea. It's God's idea. And if Jesus realized the value of prayer, the value of spending time with his Heavenly Father, that you and I, we should do the same. So yesterday I talked to you about a dad who talked to his child while it was still in the womb and in the developmental stage. And he did so much that when the baby was born, that the baby calmed down at the sound of his voice. Today I want to talk to you about that prayer is our way of interacting with the Heavenly Father. So the goal of prayer is to develop the ability to speak in the language of heaven. So that's a process. It's a lifelong journey. So I was studying here for a recent sermon, and I preach quite a bit, you know, between here, the radio, and the church, and then other preaching opportunities that come, my voice gets used a lot. And a lot of times they're all in different areas. So the Sunday school class that I teach is different than the sermons that I preach, which is different than the Wednesday nights, which are different from the other ministry opportunities. Sometimes there's some crossover here on the radio, but not all that much. And as I was studying for this class I was teaching, it said that in the Old Testament there was this view of God that he was so holy and he was so exalted that there was a failure to appreciate that he was also a God of love who wanted to be the focal point of our lives. And so because of overemphasis in the area of his exaltation and his holiness and his perfection, there was a dread. There was, you know, they did not necessarily understand that God was a God of love. So when Jesus came, he taught them about God's love. He taught them about God's act of compassion. And it was because they needed to have it's not that God isn't holy. It's not that he isn't exalted, but God is a God who is perfectly 100% all of those things. And so the promises of God are going to be fulfilled because he is a God that it is impossible for him to lie. He is never wrong. He never misses the mark, even by a fraction of an inch. He is always perfect. He is perfectly holy, perfectly righteous. But, because of the imbalance, Jesus came and he said, you need to know that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so Jesus came and he did not compromise the holiness of God, but he did reintroduce the concept of God as love. Now we live in a day and time where the pendulum has swung the other way, where there is such an emphasis on the nature of God being a God of love and a God of mercy and a God of grace, all of which he is, but they have done so, there's been such an emphasis that people no longer can comprehend how God is also a God who is holy and a God who is just, and that the promises are not just the promises of benefit, but there are promises of consequence. That because we are created with a free will to choose God or choose to reject God, and the world largely chooses not to retain the knowledge of God, then there's that consequence. And so oftentimes we've got to bring that back into alignment with God's word. So I remember when I was at my very first church as a youth pastor, that there was a speaker, and I still remember his name. He's a little bit older than I am, not much. He's well known in pastoral realms in certain parts of the country. But at that point in time, he was the youth pastor at one of the largest churches in our district. And he said, I have found that when I preach the righteousness of God, my young people fall into legalism. And when I preach the grace of God, they tend to fall into sin. And so he was raising up disciples to know that God is not just one or the other. He is both and. He is a God of love. But the Bible says that his wrath is equal to the fear that is due his name. He's a powerful God. He is a holy God. He is absolute perfection. And so what does this have to do with prayer? I want you to know that prayer is interacting with our Heavenly Father, realizing that he doesn't have any of the sins or the shortcomings or the failings that earthly fathers do. And that the Father comes down to our level to communicate with us. So Jesus would say things like this: I have much to share with you, but you cannot handle it at this point in time. You're not ready for this. If I share with you the things that I want to share with you, you wouldn't understand it. You wouldn't know what to do with it. And so it's very important in the development of a child that you start where they are, so that you can bring them to where you want them to be. And so I want to bring you to the place of prayer with a new believer, where heaven is rejoicing. Some of you may be listening and you just gave your life to Jesus this last weekend. If that's you, I've got a message for you. Welcome to the family of God. We are so proud to have you as having your sins forgiven the same way that God has forgiven us. You are loved by God, and you are loved by the church, and we welcome you to the family. And there is, if that's you, there is nothing that can hinder you from growing in your relationship with the Heavenly Father as much as you want to. There's, you know, the more you press in, the more you are going to absorb, the more you are going to learn, the more you are going to understand. And you'll understand that your Heavenly Father is not only in heaven, but he's here on earth. He is right where you are, and he's wanting to interact with you on your level. So I loved being around my kids when they were young. I love being around my kids now that they're not so young. In fact, I love to be around them more than I get to be around them. I love to speak to them more than I get to speak to them. They, you know, they're all actively involved in church. Some of them have so many irons in the fire that they're all trying to keep in balance that, you know, they're busy. We live in a busy world. But the desire of the father, of this father, is to spend time with his kids, spend time with his grandkids. And so some of my grandchildren, one of my grandchildren is just a few months old. And whenever I get to be around them, I don't sit there and speak to them as if, you know, I'm on the radio here. You know, I'm behind a microphone. I'm watching lights flash back and forth. Instead, I get down on the ground where they are. If they're on the carpet, I get down there with them. If they're, you know, in their little bouncy thing that keeps them calm, then I get down there with them. And what I do is I get down there and I make eye contact with them. And I speak to them, knowing that they cannot understand the words that I'm saying fully, but so that we can begin to develop that relationship. And so with all of the grandkids, the relationship my wife has with them goes in one direction. The relationship that I have with them looks differently because our roles are different. And I tell you, I love to get down and communicate with that baby and with the ones who aren't babies anymore. It won't be long until they will be moving on to the next stage of life's development. And, you know, life is all about moving forward. And I do tell parents this, don't blink, because if you blink, you're going to find that the baby today is graduating high school tomorrow. It seems like it can go that fast. So enjoy the season. One of the lies that parents tell themselves is the next stage is going to be easier. The next stage is going to be better. And I will tell you that the next stage is going to cause you to rely on your faith in God, your Father, as much as this stage is. So whether they're teenagers or young adults or got families, or if they're newborns or toddlers or, you know, preteens, whatever, each stage of our children's development causes us to press into God even more. So what I do with that infant is I get down so that they can see my face. And, you know, their visual development takes a while, so sometimes you've got to be pretty close. And I get down there so they can hear my voice, so that they recognize my voice. And as that process goes on, and they interact at our house, they begin to learn the positions of the house, the culture of the house. And so I want to tell you a humorous story. And so we've got two grandchildren that are, one of them is three, the other one's getting ready to turn three. And they know what to expect when they come to our house. And so one of my grandchildren visited here a few weeks ago. And in between his last visit and this visit, I had bought my wife an electric fireplace for Christmas. And she likes to watch the fire, the fake fire, and she loves to feel the heat of it. She likes to be, likes the temperature of the house to be higher than what I do. And so because of where we positioned the fireplace and I wanted her to be able to see it, we had a discussion and she said, well, what if I took your seat over there and you took this seat? And so we moved our recliners around and so we had switched positions. But because we had spent time and interacted with my grandson, when he showed up, I was sitting in the chair. It was my chair, but it was in the position that my wife was in the last time. And I said, did I take your seat? Because he was walking over there. And he said, no. Grandpa, get up. This is Grandpa's seat over here. And so he walked me over to where he knew that I sat the last time he was there. And he said, you sat there. And then he went over and got in the recliner. And my wife came in. Did you take my seat? And we left and said, wow, he understands where things are positioned. Now, I will tell you that the more we interact with the Father, our Heavenly Father, we realize that His place is on the throne. As I was studying again for a message, I ran across a statement that talked about how the world looked at the cross as a place of shame, that it was a place where the accursed hung. But in John chapter 17, Jesus looked at the cross as a place where He was going to be glorified and the Father was going to be glorified, and mankind was going to be able to be saved and reconciled to the Father. So where the world looked at the cross as something to avoid, Jesus looked at the cross as a place to be embraced. And then this commentary said this, where the world looked at the cross as a place of defeat for Jesus, He looked at it as a place where He was going to rule. The name above His cross, above Him that hung on the cross, was the King of the Jews. In every known language of people that were there that day, it was said, He is the King of the Jews. The people who wanted Him dead said, no, don't write that He is the King of the Jews. Write that He claimed to be the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, what I've written, I have written. I will tell you this, that the more we interact with the Father and know that He's come to us to bring us to the place where He is, that you will find that in every place, in every season of your life, your Heavenly Father rules and reigns. Even from the cross, He reigned. From the grave, He reigns. For your life, the more you interact with Him, realize that He's on the throne and He wants to interact with you. Let's honor our King. You have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.